plate a potential nugget.
And you're saying that in the context of Bill to say that he would ensure that people follow the right process for decision
making? Yeah, exactly. In the coaching, you know, I think Eric in particular learned a lot from Bill on this, and they talked a lot about decision making. Look, one of the most important things managers do is make decisions. And like I said before, you can't guarantee that you're going to make the right decision. You can never guarantee that. But you can guarantee that you run a good decision-making process. And that process entails making sure everybody is heard. Everyone needs to make sure that whatever side they're arguing, they have a chance to really be heard. You know, and sometimes in meetings, there are the people who are the outspoken ones, who are always talking. They'll always get heard. But, you know, you need to look for the people who maybe aren't so outspoken, maybe aren't comfortable in arguing against, a more powerful person in a meeting context. There are other ways to make sure that person gets heard, side meetings, in the hallway, that sort of thing. So when you're running a decision-making process, one, make sure you hear every possible perspective and really stay open to it. And then, Marissa Meyer tells this story of how, look, Marissa is such a smart person. And she had a hard time doing this, but Bill was coaching her that, you know, in your meetings, when you're discussing decisions, he made a rule for herself to follow. Don't say a word other than, you know, maybe prompting other people to speak. Don't opine until everyone else has had a chance to speak, because of course, when the leader speaks up, then people are going to, you know, maybe want to align with that or whatever. And so, you know, Bill's advice to Marissa was kind of stay quiet until she heard all the perspectives. So number one, hear all the perspectives, but then sometimes you got to make a call. We've all been in situations where people would just get an analysis paralysis and not make the call. And so when the team is talking about something and everyone's had a chance to be heard, lots of times the right decision will just come out of that discussion. But if it doesn't, the manager needs to make the call. And then everybody needs to rally behind it. And this is not consensus. Bill would talk about, oh, I hate consensus. I hate the concept of consensus. Because the concept of consensus is getting everyone to agree, which will often lead to a watered down decision, which is not the right one. What it really is, you know, my boss here at Google talks about it as disagree and commit. Okay, I spoke up in the meeting. I had a chance to be heard. I don't agree with the decision we made. I think it's the wrong decision. But I'm on this team and I'm in. I'm going to play all in for this decision and not sabotage it in any way. And that's the sort of behavior Bill would expect. One of my favorite anecdotes in our book is just a little anecdote. It came from Rachel Whetstone. Rachel ran policy and communications here at Google for a long time. And she was in Eric's staff meeting, and there was something the company was doing or was planning on doing, and she didn't want to do it. She thought it was a bad move. And she argued passionately against this. She's a very passionate person and was argued very passionately about it. And she lost. After the meeting, you know, and Bill noted that she was disappointed in this. So after the meeting, he found her and he said, hey, Rachel, that didn't go your way. And she was expecting kind of a pep talk and, you know, him telling her to, you know, maybe there's another way to get her decision made or something like that. And instead he basically said, that didn't go your way this time. Suck it up. Go with what the team decided. Maybe you'll get them next time. And that was it. You know, and, you know, you didn't get it. You disagreed, but they made a decision. You're on this team. You've got to be all in on it. That was his attitude.
It's interesting to hear Alan speak about Bill's approach in ensuring that leaders followed the right process in making a decision. If I may relate it back to my experience, when I work with leaders in their individual capacity through a career or life transition, a big part of the work is actually ensuring that they're getting the process right. It's often about the following steps. Number one, are the leaders developing a healthy level of awareness in terms of strengths, sources of energy, passion, and a clear sense of what matters to them as they move forward? I ensure that this is a combination of insight that often comes through reflection and outsight, which is often how people see them. Number two, are they making a coherent go-to-market in the context of the various pathways they can undertake and going after it in a systematic and a thoughtful way? And number three, are they exploring enough? Several of the people that go through these transitions get insecure very quickly during this phase of transition, when there's often an identity vacuum, and want to grab onto the first thing that comes their way. It might be efficient, but may not be effective in terms of setting them up for the future. One of my earlier guests, Herminia Ibarra, speaks about the need to explore adequately and reflect on our experiences before we converge onto something.
But in fact, what we're doing is trying to explore and compare and contrast, and how do I feel here and how did I feel there? And so when you give yourself, and that's why it takes time, that's why the time factor plays in, to explore more divergently and say, this is actually natural. And it gives me more information so that then I can make the right choice. You make better decisions and you're less likely to do the other thing, the foreclosure, which is take the first thing that comes your way because it's been 6 months and I can't tell people anymore that I'm still, you know, out of work. So the delayed commitment comes from understanding that it's going to take time and you're not going to go for the first thing that comes up or the second thing until you really had a chance to test. Because once you jump, you're going to be stuck there at least another 2 years. And so why not take a little longer at the beginning in order to make a more robust choice?
And back to the process of making a good decision, the fourth thing that we often work through is having a robust decision-making criterion based on the self-discovery during the assessment phase and subsequently through the phase of experimentation. I realize that in something as nebulous as a career transition, especially when somebody is at crossroads, the best bet is to ensure that we follow the right process to get to a meaningful outcome. Given that it might take a while to figure out whether it was the right direction or not, that's the best hope we have to get to a meaningful outcome. Do tune into my conversation with Herminia Ibarra and Tasha Urich if this element is of specific interest to you. Thank you for listening. For more, you could visit the recently revamped website, playtopotential.com. For bite-sized content by theme, please visit the curated playlist section at the website. If you're deriving value in the content and wish to show your gratitude, I would request you to pay it forward by contributing to Antarang Foundation by visiting the Pay It Forward section on the website playtopotential.com. Your contributions will help thousands of young Indians who come from challenging backgrounds play to their potential. Thank you.